And we're back. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. In the studio, we have Dr. Julianne Cooper from LibertyHarborAcademy.org is the website for Liberty Harbor Academy. And our financial expert, of course, is Mary Murphy.
Well, ladies, prior to the break, we were talking about the fact that somewhere along the line, education became a right and not a privilege. And Mary, you pointed out that this was the beginning of the breakdown in discipline. Julianne pointed out that the industrial model we are treating, in which we are treating all students as if they were the same and not individuals with different rates of learning and different styles of learning, is detrimental. And in fact, we expect our students to be almost robotic in a sense. Mary, you were about to make a comment before we went to break with regard to studying other countries and maybe learning something from them.
Like, what I would be interested to see is look at other countries and how they, you know, how they teach mathematics in particular. And, you know, there is something to be said for being uniform as long as what you're teaching is the most optimal way to teach it.
I think mathematics is very different than history, for
instance. Well, I would agree with that. I think, like, what I would be interested to see is our education bureaucracy making any efforts to study other countries that are at the top of these international competency tests consistently, like Singapore and like other countries like them? You know, are we studying? How are they teaching their students?
Did you go
math?
In the classrooms in Singapore?
Yeah, yes, I did, Ashley.
And the students, I don't know, in China, I know the students stand up when the teacher comes in the room and they sit and there's no discipline problem.
Yeah, they actually have none. Yeah.
Right. Well, we had a Korean young gentleman from Korea who was doing an internship with us last year. And at one point he said that if students didn't behave, they were closed in the closet and they had to sit there for the rest of the dark in mm-hmm, the closet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So can you imagine that kind of discipline today? In this country?
Well, I think another thing, too, is that in some of these Asian countries in particular, where they have very high populations and very, you know, relatively smaller opportunities, if you will, for employment in high-paying fields, they recognize very early – the parents are fully engaged. They recognize very early that it's essential. It's really life and death to make sure that their student is learning at the elementary grades as well as middle school, not just high school and college, because that's their ticket to the middle class or even the wealthy classes in these countries. And to do otherwise, like especially if they get kicked out of a school, that's the kiss of death. You're signing up for poverty for the rest of your life and misery.
Right. Right. Now, Mary, one of the things we had talked about was, and leads right into this, is, you know, we're facing and looking at what's going on nationally with Obamacare. Obamacare in our state, we keep hearing that there's a possibility that the state would be able to opt out and not have to fight back or not have to comply with some of the expenses that are coming down with Obamacare. But I don't know that our average listener knows what that price tag is going to be.
Well, it's very concerning because it's, you know, the fact of the matter and how it relates to this program is the fact, and our topic of discussion this morning is the fact that, you know, you only have so much money in your state and local budget. And so if you have a federal mandate like Obamacare coming down the path, it's going to crowd out other spending. So having to come up with the subsidies that will go to folks that are unable to provide for themselves, they're unable to purchase private insurance to cover their own medical needs, means that the taxpayers are going to have to come up with this money. And so that money will not be available for things like education. And it's quite a lot of money. Just to give you a feel for this, in this morning's Investors Business Daily, they're talking about how every time the Congressional Budget Office, which are the chief accountants of the country, they don't, you know, they're not partisan. In other words, they are not biased toward any particular political party. They're the chief accountants of the country. Every time they forecast what Obamacare is going to cost in terms of these taxpayer subsidies, the number goes up by double digits. And so that's very concerning that they don't have a handle on what it's actually going to cost us, and yet it's coming down the path, you know, at breakneck speed. So I think that the last thing I heard was that the employers are going to be expected to pick up on average for a family about $3,500 which means that the employee is going to have to come up with the other $16,500. That's a huge number to a family, you know, a typical family here in New Hampshire. It's a stunning number, in my opinion.
Right.
And worse than that, they're estimating 7 million Americans are going to lose their employer-funded health care, which means they're going to be cast into this exchange system.
Some already have. Yeah. I mean, I know some people who have actually been told they can't have that health care anymore.
Well, and in fact, even BAE Systems, where my husband works, a few years ago, before all of this government-mandated stuff started coming down, we had, a number of different choices of companies that we could get our health insurance through. And then within those different companies, there were still a number of different programs. Well, when this Obamacare started coming down, we went down to one company that would provide three different programs. And now I think we're down to one company and one program. And I fully expect them to decide to take the hit for the penalty rather than because it's so cost invasive to the companies to do this. And, you know, we interviewed a few weeks ago Dr. Keith Smith from the Surgical Center in Oklahoma, and they have shown us that you can do a lot of the medical care for about a tenth of what it costs in our, quote, nonprofit hospitals. Just for outpatient surgeries. I mean, for a few thousand dollars, you can get that taken care of. And it's not you get a bill from the doctor, then you get a bill from the laboratory, then you get a bill from the hospital kind of thing. It's all-inclusive. So if that kind of model can go on when they're not taking any federal dollars, they're not treating I asked him. I said, what do you do if you have a Medicare or Medicaid patient, he said, we do it for free, and we simply eat their cost at that point because we don't want to deny them the opportunity to get health care.
But see, Karen, I would my at least anecdotal evidence is that, and I have a lot of doctors in my practice, and my big concern is that the doctors, because of the low reimbursements, and of course, one of the cuts that they're talking about, one of the cuts the federal government is currently talking about, is this reimbursement of Medicare and Medicaid to medical professionals. I predict, and I'm seeing it already, that these individuals are going to stop taking Medicare and Medicaid patients because they can't afford to. It's not profitable to them. It's not even break even for them. They lose money on these patients.
Yeah. My son-in-law is an anesthesiologist, and he has often said that they don't make enough on the Medicare to actually cover the actual cost of some of the equipment that they have to use and so forth. So,
well, and speaking from someone who's also exercised all of the military benefits in government-run health care, the quality of the doctors goes down because you're getting people who are just coming in. And many times, I mean, it was a hit and miss whether you got a really good doctor or not. And the other thing that happens is that you have doctors who will not take at the time it was Champus, now it's TRICARE. And your military people out here are floundering trying to find adequate health care too. And it really forces us, I think, to start looking at what about if we went to a cash-only type situation where you and your doctor come out with what is it going to cost us to treat you?
Could I add something else to this?
Certainly.
I just read an article this past weekend, about the situation in Oregon and Washington where assisted suicide is now part of the agreement, and number of stories about people who needed cancer treatment who were denied funding for the cancer treatment, but they had 100% funding for assisted suicide.
Right.
So, and there is no oversight on the assisted suicide. No one has to be in attendance. The doctor simply has to write the prescription.
And there's no investigation you've already signed up for the assisted suicide
right.
pill.
Right. And the doctor is required not to put assisted suicide on the death certificate. It has to be a disease or something that you have had. So there is no way to trace the number of people who die in Washington and Oregon, and there's no oversight. And who is to say whether someone was forced to take the medication or not, because there is no witness. They don't have to have any witnesses.
Exactly. Nancy Elliott's been in. Nancy has become our New Hampshire international authority on euthanasia. But Nancy did bring that up as well. You can go in, you can get the pills, and you can decide you're going to put it over here for someday in the future. Well, there's no way to track if one of your relatives who wants to get your benefits decides that they're going to slip it to you in the middle of the night, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
It is very frightening. So, Mary, how do people who are looking at what this ominous problem, and it's also, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's also pretty evident that someplace in the very near future, our dollar is not going to be worth anything because we're printing it at astronomical rates, and it's the buying power is going down on it. How do our listeners prepare so that they're not caught off guard on this?
Well, I think that there's a couple things you can do. One of the most important things is to make your voice be heard, and so that means that you do have to reach out to your representatives and let them know how you feel about, you know, the central government, the federal government taking over healthcare at a national level. There's a lot of states who are going to make it difficult for Obamacare to be implemented in their state. They're refusing to set up these exchanges, which are required to actually implement Obamacare. And New Hampshire, I don't believe, has done that yet. We haven't, you know, kind of stated how we're going to go either way.
It's up in front of the legislature now, but it depends upon how many do-gooders are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are some real problems with our current health system. It is a fact. Like, I myself have a disability. I was hit by a pickup truck 2 years ago. My feet were crushed. I had to break my own ankle to get out from under the car, you know, out from under the truck. So I'm very sympathetic with folks who cannot get insurance because of pre-existing conditions, because I'm in that boat. Like, I can't get disability insurance. It's, you know, they're going to they probably will insure me, but they're going to exclude half my body, and it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. So that's the only good news, is at least those two body parts I don't have to worry about coverage for, because the premium's going to be so high. But, you know, I do believe that society does need to provide some way to care for folks who have pre-existing medical conditions that were not necessarily caused by lifestyle choices, poor choices, but for whatever reason they have some kind of bad disease. But that, you know, they should hopefully represent the minority of Americans. And I think that what we need to do is come up with a solution that will address the majority of the Americans' needs in a cost-effective manner so that it's sustainable. And that's the problem with Obamacare. It's not financially sustainable. And so you might solve the problem short-term, but you're going to create a bigger problem downstream as the country becomes financially insolvent. And that's going to affect every American and generations to come.
There are some Christian organizations that have begun to do healthcare on a sort of cooperative basis. And that's another thing that, I mean, another along with your surgical organization,
right,
that is where we pay, everyone pays for the other people based on a monthly cost.
And your ability to pay, I think.
Ability to pay.
Yeah. And one last thing, and this is important. I think, you know, we all recognize that we have an aging demographic here in America because increasing numbers of people, you know, are entering their golden years, so to speak. And so one of the biggest problems that I see with health insurance today is the fact that most Americans drift through life not recognizing that Medicare does not cover long-term care, and yet every single, you know, the vast majority of Americans will have some type of disabling event, or they will, you know, basically your bodies eventually get so old that you are not able to do activities of daily living for yourself. And so at some point you will need assistance, and we're not planning ahead adequately to pay for that. And it is without exception, it is one of the most expensive forms of health care. It costs usually about $77,000 on average here in New Hampshire. New Hampshire, by the way, is in like the top five most expensive states in the country for receiving this type of care. And we're not planning for this. And there's many strategies that you can use to better prepare yourself to pay for this because it's coming. You know, at some point we get so old that we can't do things for ourselves. So.
And statistically, it is the reality is that as you age, you do your medical bills do go up. They don't necessarily need to go up as high as they do, but that is a real factor that is included in that. So, you know, I really appreciate the fact that both of you have come in this morning and given us a word of your expertise and your knowledge, and I encourage people to go up to Liberty Harbor and take a chance to go just walk through the school, take a tour of the school. They're more than happy to have you come see what it is that they offer and how they get things going. I want to remind you that there is a winter storm watch that remains in effect from tomorrow morning through Saturday afternoon. They expect 18 to 24 inches of snow and some blizzard conditions. A blizzard, as one person said. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. We've been privileged to have Mary Murphy, our financial expert, and Dr. Julianne Cooper from Liberty Harbor Academy with us this morning, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in.